What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray together before we start with. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here, grateful to be in this place when we can get together and worship you. Thank you for your word that you bless us with the Bible and with your scripture and with the word. And we pray that you give us a willingness to follow your voice and that you bless us with the things that we will do this evening. We pray that you give me clarity in my mind and in to present the thing that you have been put in my heart. And every listener here, they can capture the truth of the Bible. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today, let me tell you that today is the final match of the Australian Open. And if you like tennis, like me, you will know that the Australian Open is one of the biggest tournaments. It's one of the four Grand Slams, the biggest tournaments in tennis. So we have the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, when they play on hard court, and then the French Open, when they play with in clay, the court, and then the Wimbledon that they play on grass. So this is the biggest tournament in tennis, and let me tell you that the prices are so phenomenal. We're talking about $60 million in the Australian Open here, and everybody have a chair there. Apparently, doesn't matter if you win or you lose, you have money in your pocket. The whole world watched the transmission of Australian Open. I have friends in Mexico and say, oh, you know, the games and watching the games since they are far away, but they are watching the transmission. And this is when the city of Melbourne received a great number of tourists, people from around the whole world. Many, many people came especially to watch the tennis. And I think this is a very similar situation with the city of Corinth in the New Testament. The city hosts the Isthmian Games every 2 years. And these games were the second biggest games in the Asian Greece after the Olympics and the Panlonian Games in Ephesus. These Isthmian Games were hosted in honor of the great god Poseidon. And these games cover foot races, wrestling, boxing, throwing the disc and javelin, and long jump distance, chariots racing, even poetry reading and singing was part of this competition. Records indicate that Paul, during his 18 months of ministry in Corinth in AD 51, these festivities was part of the city. The city have all these festivities probably when Paul was there. So I'm just wondering if Paul attending any of these games in Corinth or in Ephesus during this time. I just wonder if Paul visits the city of Melbourne today, if he would, if he go to the Australian Open to watch the games or no. But nevertheless, I think everybody in Corinth, they knew about the games, what is about the games. And everybody seems to be that they were very excited what these games represent for the city. So Paul used this situation to teach some spiritual lessons to the church. And he mentioned some characteristics of the runner or a boxer. And he described himself as a boxer or as a runner, because was part of all what was happening in this city. Open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24-27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24-27. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they who is run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strive for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away." The title of my preaching today is "Run to Obtain the Prize." Run to obtain the prize. Today there are many, many different sports. There are many kind of competition, many tournaments in the world. But one of the most attractive is the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games are so special. What these Olympic Games represent, and we have the open ceremony. Apparently, it's one of the most people from most countries watch the open ceremony. And then, you know, when they light the torch in the ceremony, it's so special. And then when every country present their delegations and the flags, and the ceremony when the winners, they have the medal ceremony, and the national anthem is loud for the winners. Everything in the Olympic Games are so special for many people. But out of all this competition, out of all the sports in the Olympics, there are one single sport that is very special. Is that there are one race in that literally stopped the whole world. It's the 100 meters, the sprint race. And currently, the world record is 9.5 seconds, the 100 meters, this race. And it's held by Usain Bolt, from Jamaica, in 2009. He's apparently the fastest runner in the world. 9.5 seconds is the record. Well, I think this passage in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, describe who is the runner, and then how they run, and the purpose to run the race. And they said, the Bible says, well, they, the athletes, they run for a corruptible crown, for the prize, for a crown. But we, the Christians, we run for an incorruptible crown. And this evening, Tim was talking about the crowns in heaven. And we will see the four different crowns that are waiting for the Christians in heaven. So run that you may obtain the prize. Verse 24 says, run that ye may obtain the prize. Every Christian is a runner. There are a spiritual race. Verse 24 says, all run. All the Christians are running in a race. And there are many different ways that we can run the spiritual race. There are people that are very well trained and very well prepared, spiritual, to run in the race. But there are people that are struggle with the Christian life, and there are different stages, different training, different levels of professional training in the Christian life. So my question is, you need to know all these things in order to be prepared for the race that you are running in your Christian life, in order to finish the race, in order to obtain the prize. And I need to be clear here that Paul is not referring to the salvation. He's not talking about that. You need to run to obtain the salvation. He's talking about the Christian life. People that have been saved, and you need to run in the Christian life to obtain the prize, these heavenly crowns, and run to obtain the prize. And I want to give at least four different characteristics, four different character qualities that any runner need to have in order to win the prize. Four different qualities that every runner need to have in order to obtain the prize. Number one, the first quality that one runner need to have is discipline. Discipline is what they need to have. Self-discipline is the key element to reach what you want. Self-discipline sounds like a lot of sacrifices, sounds like boring, sounds like a big effort, sounds like a sweat and hard work. And let me tell you, discipline is that. Discipline have all these elements. Self-discipline is the difference between to be just a dreamer and be an achiever. You need to be disciplined in order and work hard in order to obtain something. And this is not a motivational speech. This is a true in the life of every person, and it's a true in the life of every Christian. You need to work hard in order to obtain something. Things are more valuable if you pay the price for something instead of get something for free. Normally, when you get something for free, they have not the same value for you that when you pay something and you get and you pay the full price for the thing. I have never seen any runner that is overweight, you know. It seems to be that all the runners before the race, they are very well prepared. I never see an overweight runner in the 100 meters race. Normally, they are very fit, very well trained. And I think they have a special diet. They have probably they cut off with many activities or many parties and association or friendships in order to obtain the prize. It's a lot of discipline. It's a lot of sacrifice. But they do all this just for the dream to obtain the prize. And it's enormous, this dream. For the athletes that they are training every day, the dream is just, I want the golden medal. I want the first place. And everybody is training for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. He's talking about every man that strives for the mastery is temperate, is disciplined in all things. In all things. Not just in the things that you enjoy, not just in the things that you are good at, in everything. It's a discipline in everything. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8 says, 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul writes, and it's very important to see what is in the heart of Paul before he died. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I can see a lot of discipline in the conclusion life of the Paul. He fought, he finished, and he kept. Three different things that make me think that he had a very disciplined life. He finished. He said, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And again, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about salvation. I think the Lord keep us our salvation. But keep the faith is be disciplined in the spiritual life, is keep the doctrines of the faith, is the promises of the Lord he kept, and he accomplished the reason and the purpose of his life. Verse 8 says the reward. What is the reward to be disciplined in your life? Well, if you want to be a disciplined Christian in your own life, there is a reward. Verse 8 says the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, Tim was talking about the heavenly crowns. This is one of these heavenly crowns. That if you are disciplined enough to maintain and keep your faith, your doctrines in your life, you will have this crown of righteousness. This crown of righteousness that the Paul says, I will receive on that day. On that day. Sounds like Paul had a lot of satisfaction in his life. He said, I have finished. I have finished the purpose of my life. Probably he can sing, it is well with my soul. He finished. The job was done in his life. And he said, well, I'm ready to go home because my job here was done. And he was awaiting for the crown of righteousness. How much you love the appearing of the Lord, his second coming. How big is your desire to see the Lord, to be in heaven with him? The crown of righteousness is waiting for you if you have this desire. This desire to see the Lord. And if you have this love for the appearance of the Lord, it's because you are prepared. You are prepared to see the Lord. How are you running your Christian life? How is your discipline as a Christian? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying, trusting the Lord every day? In the times when it's easy, and when the time when you want to read, but also there is time when you don't want to read the Bible and you don't want to pray. You need to be disciplined to have devotion in the family, to came to the church every Sunday. It's a discipline. And then you will have a reward, the crown of righteousness. The second quality that Arona need to have, the second quality is they need to have a strategic. They have to have a training in their life. You can open the door and just run wild and, you know, I'm a runner and just run. Or you have to have a plan, a schedule, a program, a calendar, a timer, a research, a strategic. You have to have all these things in your life in order to obtain the prize. And I think all this training, all this information, personal trainer do in the gyms. They prepare everything for you, all your goals and the things that you want to do in the gyms and the programs. Just you need to pay them and just follow the instructions. But you have to have an strategic to endure trials in your life, difficulties, probably injuries of temptation in your Christian life. All these are part of the race. One day you will be faced with temptations. One day you will face with difficulties in your life. And you have to have a plan to face and to conquer all these difficulties in your life. Verse 26 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, Paul says, I run not as uncertainly. Paul, he doesn't run just wild and go. He had a plan. And then he said, I fight not as one that beats the earth. He put himself as a boxer. And I think that the box, I know nothing about boxing. Probably I need to speak with David. But I think that they need to have this capacity when there are boxing in the place with an enemy or with a contender. They need to have this mental ability to wait the right moment before they swing and they punch to the enemy. They need to have all these kind of skills and wait for the time, and they need to have a target. Paul says, I am a boxer, but not the one that just beat the earth. That, you know, I don't have any target in my Christian life. I have a target, and I will punch that target. This is my plan. This is my strategy that I have in my life. Do you have a plan in your Christian life to face temptations, to face difficulties? You know how to face all these things in your life? James, the book of James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Blessed, says, the man that endures temptation. Is immensely happy the man that resists temptation. How do you endure your temptation, your difficulties, your trials, your testings in your life? Do you have a plan? Then you will receive the crown of life. It's a second crown. If you have a plan in your Christian life and you love the Lord and said no to the temptation, said no to the difficulties, and then you will have this reward, the crown of life. If you say no to temptation, the crown of life is waiting for you. The third quality that a good runner need to have, we said discipline is number one, and then you have to have a plan in your Christian life, a target. And then the third quality that you need to have in order to be a good runner is motivation. Motivation is one of the biggest battles that every athlete face, the lack of motivation. And I think when in business, in the gym, I think the 2nd of January is when more membership classes are sold, because everybody have this resolution to lose weight and everybody wants to go to the gym. The 2nd of January, after Christmas. And it's so easy to go to the gym because it's a new place, you have new gears, new people, and then you start to see results. But then there are times when the days are so hot like this, or too cold, or probably too wet, or too dark to go to the gym. And the people are just losing motivation to continue that training. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says the crown is your motivation. They are running. They are looking after for a corruptible crown, for a prize. But we, as a Christian, we are running. We are chasing an uncorruptible crown that is in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth not easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What is your motivation in your Christian life? What every day when you wake up and say, "Well, I'm Christian," but what is your motivation? And these verses are talking about two important things. If you are in the race in your Christian life, says, put aside all the weight. You need to lose weight. You need to put aside all this heavy sin in your life. And he's talking about sanctification. This is part of the race in the Christian life, sanctification. And then the verse says, run with patience the race that is in front of us. He's talking about determination. Run with this. And then fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. He is the example. The Lord Jesus endures the cross with joy because what happened in the cross was the joy to see that he was accomplished the reason of why he was here, to bring many to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. This is what Paul says to the believers in the church in Thessalonica. You believers are my joy, my hope, my crown of rejoicing. This was the motivation in the heart of Paul to see the life transformation in the life of every Christian in the church. And let me tell you, the best motivation in Christian life is to serve the Lord, serving others. This is a great motivation. If you have a passive Christian life, and you are living just for yourself, let me tell you that you will lose motivation. If you have a passion for serve the Lord and serve others in the name of the Lord, your life would be radiant. They will be flourishing from the Lord. Paul says to the believers, you are my crown of rejoicing. This is another crown that is waiting for us. If we continue motivate in our Christian life and we serve others, your life there will be a motivation for the Lord, and then you will have this crown of rejoicing. The last quality that I want to mention is we said the first quality that a runner need to have is discipline. The second is to have a plan, an strategic in your Christian life. The third is motivation in your Christian life. And the fourth is integrity. Integrity. Fair play. You have to be a good sport. 1 Corinthians 9:27 is a warning. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. It's a warning for everybody. Even the forerunners of the races can be eliminated to obtain the prize. Even that you are running the race very well, just be careful because probably you will not obtain the prize. So you need to follow the rules, you need to follow the game, and you need to be a legitimate runner. You need to be a true Christian in order to run this race. And also, with integrity, you need to obtain these prizes. I think one of the most embarrassing moments in sport is to see the athletes when they return their prizes because they are illegitimate winners. Do you remember Lance Armstrong? The Superman cycle, Superman in bicycle, he won seven times consecutive times the Tour of France in cycling. From 1999 to 2005, he won. He was unbeatable all these 7 years. But in 2012, what happened with him? He recognized that he took illicit substance to want all these times, all these races, and now he is paying the consequences. He need to return. He returned all these prices, and his name was deleted from all the sport records, and all the sponsors, they sue him, and it was a complete tragic in history, in the sport history, because he was no legitimate winner. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, "Study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth." You have to be a true runner with integrity, approved unto God, and not be ashamed. And there are a reward. There is a reward for that. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Another crown, the crown of glory. And I know this is a wonderful promise for the pastors of the churches. Those pastors that they finish faithfully the race and with integrity, they will receive the crown of glory. Every pastor that finish with integrity, every teacher or leader, but also every father. Every father that faithfully teach and nourish their families, their wife, their kids, they will receive the crown of glory that faded not away. It's an uncorruptible crown. And Psalm 101 verse 6 says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walk in a perfect way, he shall serve me." The people that is walking in a perfect way with integrity, this is the people that they will serve the Lord. In conclusion, these are four different characteristics, the character qualities that Arona, but every Christian need to follow is discipline, and then you will receive the crown of righteousness. Strategic, or have a plan in your Christian life, and you will receive the crown of life. You need to have motivation in your Christian life, and you will receive the crown of joy. And then integrity, and you will receive the crown of glory. This is the four crowns that are in heaven awaiting for every Christian that have this race in their lives, and they are running this race with discipline, with motivation, with integrity, and is waiting for us. Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his word shall be." The Lord Jesus is coming again, and he said, "My reward is with me, to give every Christian according to his work." And let me finish with one video clip. It's a short video, but it's one of my favorite story in sport history. He was a runner. He competed in the Olympic Games in Paris in 1924. His name was Eric Liddell, a Scottish missionary to China who loved the Lord and loved running. His specialty was the 100 meters race, and he was the favorite to win the gold for his team. Just there was a small problem. The last final race was set in on Sunday, the day when he worshipped the Lord, and this was the problem. His team was in shock when they know that Eric canceled his participation on this race because it was on Sunday. And the whole England was in shock to see how can be possible that Eric canceled this race when he is the favorite to have the gold medal. Nevertheless, on that Sunday, he attended the church instead of his race. And however, he registered himself for the 400 meters race, another race, when he was not his specialty. There was many other people better than him in this race, but he registered for that race.